Good evening. This is Alex Steinberg, Pro Tem Chair of the Pacifica National Board. I am convening this meeting of the Pacifica National Board. Today is February 20th, 2020, and it is now 8:57 p.m. on the East Coast. And Madam Secretary, can you please call the roll?
Okay. Grace Aaron is present. Robin Collier?
Present.
Okay. Chris Corey?
Here.
Bill Crozier?
Here.
Rhonda Garner? Donald Goldmacher? Ann Goodman? Brina Jacobs? Wally James? Wayne Lark? Martha Peters?
Hello, Nancy here.
Okay. Present.
Jan Goodman here.
Ron
I was
Pinchback?
Muted. I'm sorry.
Ron Pinchback?
Can you hear me, Grace? Jan Goodman here.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Ron Pinchback? Ralph Pointer?
Yeah, I hear you. You're
okay.
Not speaking to the mic.
Okay. All right. Lawrence Reyes?
Present.
Lawrence? Okay. Sean Rhodes? Eileen Rosin?
Here.
Okay. Master Sabah? James Sagerton?
Here.
Okay. Alex Steinberg?
Present.
Okay. Tom Voorhees?
Here.
All right. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 members present, constituting a quorum, Mr. Chair. Also, I would suggest that somebody call Sean Rhodes because he doesn't have a text message ability, and he may not know about this meeting.
Okay.
Somebody is calling into the phone. Hello?
This is Ralph.
I'm
going to call in. Hello?
Well, Ralph,
I believe that's Ralph.
Yes.
Isn't
okay.
He on long
this line? Does somebody want to volunteer to call Sean Rhodes?
Is that Ralph calling? Because we can't hear him.
Yeah,
can't
I think
hear
he's
him
there, very low. Lawrence?
I don't think he can hear us either.
Okay. Mm.
Okay. I'll call in on another phone.
Okay.
Okay. Because I don't see him on... I don't see him in the list.
Anyway, Madam Chair, I didn't get a chance to count. Is that a quorum?
Yes, we have 12 people present, constituting a quorum.
Okay, thank you. The next item of business is the election of a chair pro tem. Do we have any nominations for chair pro tem?
Lawrence nominates
for Alex Steinberg.
Thank you. Do we have any other nominations? Okay. Are there any objections to Alex Steinberg being chair pro tem? Okay. Then Alex Steinberg is chair pro tem for this meeting. Do we next order of business is the election of vice chair pro tem. Do we have any nominations for that position?
James for Lawrence Reyes.
Thank you. I decline and I nominate Dwayne Long.
Thought he wasn't here.
He's here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Do we have any other nominations for vice chair? Bill, who are you nominating?
Nominate Robin.
Okay.
I
Okay. Mr. Collier declines.
Okay,
do we have any other nomination?
Jan Goodman.
Ms. Goodman, do you accept the nomination?
I decline.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Any other nominations? Okay, seeing no further nominations, there's only one candidate. Are there any objections?
Bill, please mark me as abstaining.
Okay, Mr. Crozier wishes to be marked as abstaining. Anybody else?
Wally okay. James wants to abstain.
Mr. James wants to abstain.
Jan Goodman will abstain.
Okay. The secretary will mark those members as abstaining, and Mr. Lark is the vice chair pro tem for this session. Next order of business is the election of a secretary pro tem. Do we have any nominations?
James for Grace Aaron.
Okay.
Any further nominations? Ms. Aaron, do you accept the nomination?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any objections? Okay, seeing no objections, Grace Aaron is the secretary pro tem for this session. Next order of business is excused absences. I believe Mansoor Sabak asked for an excused absence shortly before the meeting. Are there any other excused absences that were requested?
Yes, Rhonda texted me requesting an excused absence. This is Grace.
Okay. Ms. Garner asked for an excused absence. Anybody else?
I think did Ron Pinchback ask for one? He had a death in the family.
Oh, okay.
So I think he might have asked for one.
Okay.
Bill for the stack.
Anybody else? Bill?
I move that we excuse everybody
here
because there was confusion about the meeting being canceled and then uncanceled and then an incorrect call-in number being sent out also.
Okay, does that motion have a second?
I second.
Okay, are there any objections to excusing everybody who's absent today? Essentially, okay, seeing no objections, that motion passes. Do we have
Alex? Alex, Ralph here. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Ralph.
Oh, okay, I'm here.
Okay, we need timekeepers and any volunteers.
Martha's on.
Martha, do you volunteer to be a timekeeper? Hate to throw this at you soon as you got on the call.
Well, how long is the meeting going to... I just found out you're having a meeting. How long is it going to last?
It's going to be a fairly quick meeting.
Okay, let me... I'll volunteer. I have to get my clock, though, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, I don't think we need more than one timekeeper tonight because it's going to be a pretty quick meeting, I think. Okay, the next item of business is the approval of the agenda. And let me read the at least an outline of the agenda before we move to that. That's item number two is agenda approval. That's a five-minute item. Item number three is minutes approval. That's a three-minute item. And item number four is an amendment, really a technical amendment to the Articles of Incorporation. That's a 10-minute item. And after that, item number five is adjourn. So that's the draft agenda. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
Chris Corey, so moved.
Mr. Chair.
Okay, do we have a second?
Mr. Chair, Dwayne Lark, who seeks to be recognized.
Hold on, I'm waiting to hear if we have a second.
James, second.
I second that. Oh, sorry.
Okay. Okay, the floor is open for discussion on the agenda. Mr. Lark, you had something you wanted to say?
I submitted a motion prior to the meeting.
I believe your motion is for a closed session, and we're not planning to have a closed session tonight.
Well, I beg to differ. I don't believe the motion has been discussed in closed session at the local level, and I don't believe it's necessary for it to be in a closed session unless you determine at point of discussion that items that will be discussed would then be brought to a closed session. I can make the argument for the motion in open session, and I think it shouldn't require a closed session.
Well, in my opinion, it's a closed session item, and we're not scheduled to have a closed session tonight. You can, of course, make a motion to go into a closed session and add it to the agenda.
Well, I'm not sure that would be advised. I would probably, since you have indicated that we will be in session next Thursday, is that correct?
That is correct. A meeting has been noticed for next Thursday, and that will include a closed session.
Well, I want to have the secretary notice that my item be the first thing on the closed session agenda, and I will then be satisfied to withdraw my request.
Okay.
Question?
What I'd like to know is
my item is my colleague talking about that he wants to be in open session.
I don't really want to discuss it because we are in open session and I feel it's a closed session item.
Well, again, Mr. Chair,
what is the closed session item, Chair? Because please tell me.
He can mail it to the PNB if he hasn't already.
It has been mailed.
And why are we going to closed session? Can you give me a reason?
It's not on the agenda. As I said, you can ask to add it to the agenda if you so desire, and then we'll vote on that.
Okay, I'd like to add that onto the agenda, and I request a vote.
Okay, so that's an amendment to the draft agenda. Is there a second to that?
I second. Dwayne Lark.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, this is the secretary.
Yes.
I have a question.
Yes, what is your question?
Well, what is the motion on the floor? Sorry, I didn't get it.
Well, add an item to go into closed session for the draft.
I can't hear you, Mr. Chair. And add an item what? To go into closed session?
To go into closed session.
Okay. Where would that item be on the agenda?
I'll be recognized. This is Lawrence.
Yeah, that wasn't the motion.
Okay. Please speak up, Alex, with the motion.
Lawrence.
Hold on. The motion that Mr. Reyes suggested is to add an item to go into closed session, as I understand it.
No. Chair, may I speak? May I be recognized?
Well, then please clarify your motion.
Yeah, well, I'll do that. So, motion is that
what's being talked about that's going into closed session. I'd like to have a discussion what it is and why it cannot be in, held in open session, knowing that the network is experiencing anxiety in regards to everything this PNB is doing.
I'm gonna rule that out of order.
I will, Chair. Respectfully, I'd like to challenge your decision.
Okay. I believe this is a closed session item, so I don't think it makes any sense to discuss why it's an open session or closed session item in open session.
Well, I think, let me know when I could be recognized, Chair. I'm sorry.
Well, the parliamentarian would, would like to be recognized.
Mr. Tatum, have a word on this.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. But as we have discussed before, a request to go into executive session is a question of privileges of the assembly. It can happen during a meeting. It can be added to the agenda. It must be seconded and voted on. The topic does not have to be discussed until you actually reach the closed session item. And keep in mind that if this motion is approved, the stream would have to be cut off for the duration of the executive session. Thank you.
Chairman, I'll be recognized, Mr. Barnes.
Hold on. I have a further question for you. I'm not ruling that the motion to go into closed session is out of order. I'm simply ruling that a discussion on it is out of order.
That is correct.
So that's my
okay.
ruling.
I understand, Chair, and I'm going to withdraw my challenge because the motion is not out of order. The motion maker made it, and it was seconded by a director as well. So at some point, we need to go to a vote. Is that correct, Mr. Tatum?
Yes, that is correct.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Madam Secretary, can you take the roll call on my my ruling that a discussion of the motion to go into closed session is out of order?
No discussion on your ruling at all?
I think we just had a discussion.
Mm-mm. Well, I thought maybe you may have had a discussion.
Do you wish to? Like to speak again.
Request information.
Hold on. Mr. Tatum has the floor.
Yeah, what you ruled out of order is, I thought, was the topic of the that would be discussed in the executive session. But as I said earlier, it's not out of order to take a vote on whether to go into to add an executive session to this agenda. That part is not out of order.
That's correct. I'm not disputing
okay.
that.
Okay, no ruling on any appeal. Just vote on whether to add executive session to this open meeting, which would cause the stream to shut down temporarily.
Mr. Chair, I have a question to the parliamentarian.
What is your point of privilege?
Well, we're speaking in secret here, in code, because most of the members who have not had the privilege of looking at their emails don't even have a clue what this argument is about. And it is my question, how is it then can members be expected to vote up or down something that they really don't know what they're voting on and why they're voting on it? And to add to that question, Mr. Parliamentarian, if this particular item that the chair has declared should be in executive session, which is basically in secret, is already public knowledge and has been public action of a local station board for the last 3 or 4 months openly and discussed openly. Why then should it be considered improper that it's not discussed in the TMB openly, even if no particular name or no particular violation or no particular allegations will be mentioned?
May the parliamentarian answer that, Mr. Chair.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Mr. Tatum.
Okay. His discussion right now is out of order because the only thing that we are voting on is adding something to the agenda, and that something is going into executive session. It's an up or down vote. There should be no other discussion at all. You should not be talking about any items, any, you know, what is in the, you know, the only thing that is germane is whether to go in or whether to add it to the agenda or not add it to the agenda. That's the only thing we should be discussing.
But, Mr. Parliamentarian, the motioner did not ask for an executive session vote. That's not what the motioner motion is.
Well, I'm sorry. The motion that you sent out in the email or whatever is not on the floor for discussion right now. We're adding something to the agenda, and that's the only thing that we should be talking about. We shouldn't be talking about emails. We shouldn't be talking about the subject of the executive session. None of the above. None
of the
above.
We should be talking about the motion.
All we're talking about is a motion to add an item of the agenda, and that item happens to be going into second agenda. Just an item to add to the agenda. That's all. That's all it is.
That was not Lauren's motion. Am I the only one that's hearing that?
Yes.
We're over the five-minute limit for agenda approval.
Then we have
Chair,
to go to
Lawrence, may I be recognized for clarification?
No, you may not, because we're out of time. We have to go to a vote. We first vote on this amendment to the agenda, and then we vote on the agenda. Madam Secretary, could you please take the vote on this?
Mr. Chair, I have no idea what we're voting on.
Right.
Voting whether to add an item to the agenda that this body goes into executive session.
No, that is not the motion. That is not the motion.
Absolutely.
There was no such motion put forward. I have a request for information, Mr. Chair.
We're voting on the ruling.
Ask Mr. Reyes for clarification. Can you please read your motion?
The motion is that that I like us to go to take the executive session item that I don't know what it is because it's not in my email into open session.
Motion, Chair. Okay, that was not my understanding of the motion. Mr. Tatum, is that...
Because maybe I do
that.
What was your understanding?
During agenda approval?
Mr. Chair, I have a request for information. Grace.
Hold on. I'd like to get an answer from a parliamentarian first whether this is a proper motion to be brought forward during agenda approval.
During agenda approval, motions can be made to add to the agenda, but the motion has to be stated. It can't be sent by email. I mean, it can be sent by email, but it has to be stated here and now what you would like to add to the agenda. It has to be stated out. Can't say the email on that aspect.
Mr. Chair, I request to state my motion.
I think the motion was from Mr. Reyes, and he's the only one that can speak as to what the motion.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe I'm drifting a little bit because I have worked all day, so I might be punchy. But my motion is for the executive session item that apparently is supposed to be an email, and I have not gotten that email. We hold it in open session. So, like the parliamentarian said, we're voting on whether to go into executive session on the item or to go into open session. Parliamentarian, a no vote is not to go into executive session, and a yes vote is to go into executive session.
Point of order, it's Bill.
What is your point? Mr. Chair, this is Grace. I have a request for information that I asked for a few minutes ago.
The request for information.
Point of order,
go ahead. Go ahead, Ms. Aaron.
Okay. Was this motion, the subject of this motion, in the call for this meeting?
No.
Okay. In which case, I would raise a point of order that this would have to be placed, adjudicated as to whether it's an open or closed meeting by the officers, and then placed on the next either open or closed session agenda. Because it's not in the call for this meeting.
Chair, I have a point of order. This is Lawrence. I'd like to have a point of order after Bill Frozier.
And just get through it. So let's just call the roll.
Well, I have a point of order also.
We're voting on whether to add Mr. Wainwright's motion to the open session. That's the motion. Okay.
But I had a point of order. Mr. Chair, you had ruled the motion out of order earlier. Shouldn't we be voting on whether to sustain your ruling? And Lawrence challenged it.
Exactly.
Chair, may I speak? I withdrew my challenge.
Well,
it still may belong to the body, but that's what I did.
It's kind of been a moving target, though. I thought the motion was one thing, and then it turned out to be another thing. Mr. Reyes has withdrawn his challenge. So let's just vote on whether to add Mr. Lark's motion to the open session agenda. Madam Secretary, could you please take the roll on that?
Okay. Grace Aaron votes no. Robin Collier?
No.
Okay, Chris Corey?
No.
Okay, Bill Crozier?
No.
Okay, Rhonda Garner, Donald Goldwacker, Jan Goodman?
No.
All right. Sabrina Jacobs? Wally
no.
James?
No. Sabrina said no.
Here,
Wally said
Wally
no.
James? Okay.
No.
Wayne Lark?
Yes.
Okay. Martha Peterson?
Abstain.
Ron Pinchback? Ralph Pointer?
Yes.
Okay. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
All right. Sean Rhodes?
Abstain.
Okay. Eileen Rosen?
No. All
right. Mansoor Sabah? James Sagerton?
Abstain.
Okay. Nancy Sorden? Tom Voorhees?
Abstain.
Okay. Nancy Sorden?
Abstain.
Okay. All right. Let me count up. We have 1, 2, 3 yeses. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 no's. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 abstentions. Chair, do you wish to vote?
No, I'm abstaining.
Okay, so we have 6 abstentions. So the final vote is 3 yes, 8 no, 6 abstentions. The motion fails.
Okay, now we have to go to a vote on the agenda.
Who's crashing around there? Can you stop, please? Okay.
Can you mute yourselves, whoever that is, washing dishes or whatever that is? So are there any objections to adopting the agenda?
I object. This is Lawrence.
Okay.
I'll be glad to vote.
Madam Chair, let's go to a vote on the agenda.
Okay. This is to approve the agenda. Grace Aaron votes yes. Chris Corey. I'm sorry, Robin Collier.
A pass.
Excuse me, repeat the vote, please. We're voting to approve the agenda. A yes vote is to approve the agenda.
Okay.
Corey?
Yes.
Bill? Okay. Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Okay. Rhonda Garner? Donald Goldmacher? Jan Goodman?
Yes.
Okay. Sabrina Jacobs?
Yes.
Wally James?
Yes.
Okay. Dwayne Lark? Martha Peterson? Ron
yes.
Pinchback? Okay. Ron Pinchback? Ralph
yes.
Pointer?
Yes.
Ralph, okay. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
All right. Sean Rhodes?
No. Lawrence Reyes votes no.
Okay.
He objected, remember?
Sean Rhodes?
Sean votes yes.
Okay. Eileen Rosen?
Yes.
All right. Mansoor Sabah? James Sagerton?
Yes.
Okay. Nancy Sorden?
Yes.
Okay. Alex Steinberg? Tom Voorhees?
Yes.
Okay. And go back to... missing. Dwayne Lark.
Dwayne voted no.
Okay.
Robin.
Robin Collier.
I'll vote yes.
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 yeses. We have 1, 2 noes. Chair, do you wish to vote?
I vote yes.
Okay. The final vote is 15 yes, 2 noes. The agenda is approved.
Okay, thank you. The next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes for February 6th, 2020. Are there any corrections to those minutes?
Bill.
Bill, do you have a correction?
I believe the excused absences were just to excuse everyone who wasn't there. I don't think anybody was named explicitly.
Grace, can you confirm that? Hello?
I would have to look up my notes.
Okay, so you'll check that, and you can report back to us and let us know later.
Okay.
The parliamentarian would like to speak.
Okay, Mr. Tatum?
Yes. I'm going to ask the chair, Alex, do you agree that it would be better for the public record to have the names listed of those people who asked for excuse absence?
Yes, I do, actually.
Oh, Bill, can I be recognized?
No, I can be recognized, Chair.
Okay, you're done. Go ahead, Bill, then Lauren.
Well, as was noted earlier, Heather was the one who was absent, or wasn't there, and the court has ruled that she's not seated yet on the board, so it wouldn't be appropriate and unnecessary to excuse her absence. And and I'm pretty sure that the vote was just to excuse everybody who wasn't there. So I'm,
I believe what the court ruled, Mr. Kosher, is that she should not have been seated, but she, in fact, was seated. So I don't think the court can undo what happened in the past. All it can do is give us guidance for what to do going forward. Lawrence, did you have something you needed
to
say?
Yes, I do, Chair. In regards to Bill's iteration that all of those should be excused, I object to that because Donald Goldmacher has not provided any kind of a request for an excused absence, and he was absent that day. He's been absent, I believe, more than three times. So I think that the chair and this board needs to take that into account and make a decision as to the validity of Mr. Goldmacher as being a director.
I will ask the secretary to check that, okay?
Okay, and Mr. Chair, this is Grace. I am looking at my notes.
Yes.
And there was only one person who requested an excused absence, and one person who was excused, and that was Heather Gray. No one else was excused.
Okay, and do you know for a fact whether Mr. Goldmacher had three unexcused absences in a row?
I don't know, but that, I think that we should take that up. That's off this agenda. I think we should take that up at a future meeting.
We could take that up at another time. We don't have to figure that out right now.
Martha, to the back.
I'm going to have a question.
Yes, Mr. I heard more.
I would like to ask the secretary if she could check her role at some point, and hopefully when we come back into open session, she will have that information in regards to Mr. Goldmacher.
Sure, certainly. I will do that.
Ask for the steps, Martha.
Yes, I don't know if everybody's aware, but Ron Pinchback's brother passed, so can he be excused?
Yeah, we already voted to excuse everybody.
Oh, okay.
Everybody that requested an excused absence, not Mr. Goldmacher, Chair. He did not communicate to the secretary, neither has he communicated to the other directors that he was intending to be absent again today.
I think we're done with this item on the agenda. We're talking about minutes right now. We're not talking about who excused what. We did that already. The next item on the agenda is the motion from the IED, and I think Lydia would like to speak on that, and our legal counsel, Arthur Schwartz, is here, and I think he would like to speak on it as well. So, Lydia, would you like to go first?
What do you want me to lead people to?
Hello?
Sorry, I was muted. This is all part of the update that I sent to the PMB last week. And just for the listening public, just that the issue of the exemptions for our KPFA property taxes is moving forward. It's in very competent hands with multiple law firms, and all of the paperwork requesting the exemptions on the two properties at KPFA were submitted in a timely fashion last Friday. And the other law firm is working on some back due penalties, et cetera. And so I just want, because there's a good deal of understandable concern out there, and it's been made very public, and the press has been calling me and so on and so forth. But in the course of that, there are a number of nuts and bolts that we have to deal with in order to to maintain our exemption status and for the properties, and it's not just KPFA. We have three real estate properties. KPFT was granted total exemption, and that was working with the state in of Texas in Houston. KPFK and KPFA both had property exemptions, and their efforts to reduce that to zero so that they're completely exempt. Up to this point, they had a reduced exemption, reduced taxes, but they wanted zero, which our attorneys feel that we should be eligible for. But there are some nuts and bolts, and there are things that we've discovered in the course of this process that at least I certainly was unaware of in terms of regulations and so forth. But now I will introduce Arthur Schwartz, who is our corporate counsel for Pacifica, and he can go into it with more in more detail in the motion.
Okay. Thank you, Lydia. Go ahead, Arthur.
Okay. So as one of the avenues that we're trying to pursue with respect to the KPFA real estate tax situation, and we're trying to pursue it retroactively as well as prospectively, is to have the real estate tax forgiven, for want of a better word, because under California Revenue and Tax Code, property that's used for charitable purposes owned by a foundation is not supposed to be subject to taxation. And it's, I don't know that we've become clear why or when this exemption disappeared for that particular piece of property. And that there are, we have counsel who is specializes in real estate law, and counsel that specializes in nonprofit tax law in California and working on it. But one of the things they discovered was when they made the application to get the exemption, is that the tax folks said that our articles of incorporation did not have the current required language to get the tax exemption. And I sent a link, Lydia sent out a link to the Board of Equalization's property tax rules, which have, and I'm not, they were amended last in 2006, so this problem actually that was back in 2006, whoever was counsel, it requires certain language, basically boilerplate language, to be in the articles of incorporation of any corporation that wants to get the tax exemption. And our articles of incorporation had some of the language, but not exactly what the California Board of Equalization wanted. So Lydia's email sent out there's two clauses in the bylaws, sorry, not bylaws, in the articles of incorporation that needed to be fixed. One is in Article 2, which right now says that the purpose, one of the purposes of the foundation is to operate exclusively for educational purposes. No part of the net earnings which inures to the benefit of any member of the corporation, and no part of which is designed to carry on propaganda or otherwise attempt to influence legislation. And the Board of Equalization wants the language to include, to read the way that I, in the proposed amendment that I, you could have in front of you, to establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for charitable and educational purposes, no part of the earnings of which inures to
the benefit of any member of the foundation, the property owned by this organization is irrevocably dedicated to charitable and educational purposes, meeting the requirements of Revenue and Taxation Code, Section 214. And somebody pointed out it should say California Revenue and Taxation Code, 214. So, since the last amendment of that clause, which was in 1971, it had the same thrust, but it didn't have the exact words that the taxation people want. We need to fix it. It doesn't really change anything about the purposes of the corporation. And it's the kind of housekeeping that nonprofit entities should be doing periodically, because state legislators and regulatory authorities very frequently say, you know, add different requirements for articles of incorporation of nonprofits, and somehow somebody didn't do this, so it has to be done. If we want to get the KPFA tax lien lifted. And the other section that they pointed to was the residual section, which is what happens if the corporation goes out of existence. Right now, so that was last amended, that section was last amended in, I sent this out to, was amended in 1960. And that said that all the property of this nonprofit corporation dedicated to, and then it says commercial educational FM stations and more and more educational television stations, as defined in Section 2255 of the California Revenue and Taxation Code, upon liquidation, shall, in order to the benefit of a foundation or corporation organized or operated for charitable purposes, or operating one or more non-commercial educational FM broadcast stations, or television stations. Anyway, that language they also latched onto, because there is language that they want, and that language, literally all I do is cut and paste, is the language in the amendment to Article 8 of the Articles of Incorporation that you should have, which reads, all the property of this nonprofit corporation, whether presently owned or held or hereafter acquired, is irrevocably dedicated to the educational purposes, and upon the liquidation, dissolution or abandonment of this corporation, none of its property shall inure to the benefit of any individual or private person. All such property shall be distributed to a fund, foundation, or corporation organized or operated for charitable purposes. This property is irrevocably dedicated only to those exempt purposes as specified in the California Revenue and Taxation Code. I read the wrong thing. Sorry. What they want is, upon the liquidation, dissolution, and abandonment of this foundation, its assets remaining after payment of provision of payment for all debts and liabilities of this organization shall be distributed to an organization organized and operated for a charitable, scientific, hospital, or religious purpose, meeting the requirements of California Revenue and Taxation Code, Section 214. Sorry, I read the wrong thing. And that's in the paper you have in front of you. I'll read it again. Upon the liquidation, dissolution, or abandonment of this foundation, its assets remaining after payment or provision of payment for all debts and liabilities of its organization shall be distributed to an organization organized and operated for charitable, scientific, hospital, or religious purpose, meeting the requirements of Revenue and Taxation Code, Section 214. So that's the language that they want in the... in the Articles of Incorporation pursuant to their 2006 regulations. So we need a vote as a first step in this direction of the board, just to do that. This is not, shouldn't be particularly controversial. And if we don't do it, if we don't do the amendment, then we don't get out of paying $400,000 in back taxes.
Okay. Thank you, Arthur. I trust there will be no objections to this, but we do need
Robin, to be recognized.
Jan Goodman, I have a family stack, please.
Hold on. We need somebody to bring this motion before the board first. Thought I heard somebody
James, so move.
Jan, second, and I'd like to make an amendment to it.
I ask to be recognized first, please.
No amendments. No amendments will be considered unless Mr. Schwartz tells us that it's okay.
Yeah, tell me
that's
what it
fine.
Is. I copied the words right out of their English.
Well, okay. Robin, I would like to a point of information and a motion.
Yes. What is your
well,
information?
You know, first of all, we only, you know, amending the articles of incorporation is a major thing. We only receive this 10 minutes before the meeting starts. And the two parts of it contradict each other. The first one says that the organization is irrevocably dedicated to charitable and educational purposes. The second one says that on dissolution, they can be given to scientific, hospital, and religious purposes. They should at least be consistent, and it's a considerable change from what was adopted before, which talks about, you know, to a charitable organization or to an educational broadcast station. So you're making a major change in the articles of incorporation with no time for anyone to study and look at the ramifications. I move that we, first of all, amend both of them to say California revenue and taxation. And secondly, that it can be limited to charitable and educational.
You're asking a question. Hold on. Mr. Schwartz, can you respond?
If that's okay, it's okay. What you're saying is okay. But there is another version that doesn't have the word hospital or religious, and it's fine. And adding California is fine. I would take that as a friendly amendment.
I mean, it's just making things consistent. That's really what we want to do.
They had language example one, example two, and example three. I took example one, but example three is exactly like what you said. It takes out just as charitable and educational.
I hope someone would second my motion.
Jan Goodman, second.
Okay.
A point of personal privilege. This is Grace.
What is your personal privilege?
Arthur, can we have the exact wording?
Yeah.
That's being suggested.
Yeah, okay, I'll give the exact wording. Upon the liquidation, dissolution.
Wait a second. Hold on. Slowly.
I can email it to you.
Yeah.
Okay. Please email it so I can have it for the minutes.
Upon the liquidation, dissolution, or abandonment of this organization, its assets remaining after payment are provisional.
Arthur, I can't hear you.
Sorry. Its assets remaining after payment or provision of payment of all debts and liabilities of this organization shall be distributed to an organization organized and operated exclusively for charitable and educational purposes, meeting the requirements of California Revenue and Taxation Code, Section 214.
Okay. Can you please email that exact text to me,
yeah,
Secretary of Pacifica.org?
Yeah. Okay, it's the same
and to the
as what you have without the word scientific and hospital, without scientific hospital and religious. No, it has education.
Oh.
I'll email it to you.
Okay,
so
thank you.
It could be to pnb@pacifica.org, Arthur.
Yeah,
yes.
I'll
send it to Lydia, and she can send it to whoever gets it.
Okay.
Just before we
I can't hear whoever is speaking. Can't hear you.
I'm saying that we must make a clear statement. It is unfortunate that we are seeing this for the first time.
Alex, is that you?
Yes.
Alex, you're muffled and going in and out.
How is it now? Is it better?
Much better.
Yes.
Much better.
Okay. Thank you. It is unfortunate that we are seeing this just a few minutes ago. However, members of this board should understand that our executive director and our legal counsel have been working practically around the clock for quite a few days in order to resolve this emergency situation with the KPFA property taxes. Is that not correct, Ms. Brazon?
Yes, and I wanted to add that this doesn't just affect KPFA, but KPFK, who is current with their taxes, also last Friday applied to be completely exempt from the taxes, so it would reduce their taxes by about $10,000 a year. Again, both stations had reduced taxes for some time, but were aiming to reduce it even more to zero, and that's how this whole thing evolved, and in one case didn't work out, but KPFK has also filed, so it affects for more than one station, and it could potentially affect KPFT. So we have to always have this clearance certificate. It just has to be up to date. We've been around for so long, we were unaware of these new requirements.
Yes, and I mean, this is language that's over 50 years old, and I guess some of the language became a little bit obsolete according to the regulatory bodies in California. So we have to fix it, and we didn't have a lot of time to prepare for this, unfortunately.
And
we have a deadline.
Well,
further discussion on this? Anybody else?
Bill.
Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, I just sent you all a link to the bylaws that I thought were the latest version, and at the end of it, it also has a history of amendments through 1976. If that's helpful, there it is. So it doesn't have a stamp as it being filed, but I got this several years ago. I don't remember where I got it from, but at any rate,
I can send the one with the stamp.
Okay, well, I just wonder if this is later than what, because I think it's later than what was sent along with the agenda. Because the what was sent along with the agenda was dated 1971. Oh, wait, maybe that is the same thing. But anyway, it is a little more information on the history of the minutes, if that helps. But I agree with Robin. I think we should be consistent in those two sections, and I... Seems like that, unless our attorney feels there's some reason why.
No. I accept. I agree that okay. Robin's right.
Thank you.
There were some amendments after that, but they had nothing to do with these sections.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So we have the original motion on the floor, and then the amended version. So we need to go to a vote on the amended version. Can somebody read the amended version now so that we all know what we're voting on?
I'll read it again. So the first,
okay.
So Article 2 would at A, Section A would read, to establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for charitable and educational purposes, no part of the net earnings of which inures to the benefit of any member of the foundation. The property owned by this organization is irrevocably dedicated to charitable and educational purposes, meeting the requirements of California Revenue and Taxation Code Section 214. And then Article 8 would be amended to read... upon the liquidation, dissolution, or abandonment of this organization, its assets remaining after payment or provision of payment for all debts and liabilities of this organization shall be distributed to an organization organized and operated exclusively for charitable and educational purposes, meeting the requirements of California Revenue and Taxation Code Section 214.
Okay, can we go to a vote on this? Are there any objections to this amendment? Okay, seeing no objections, the amendment now replaces the main motion. And now we have to vote on the main motion as amended. Are there any objections to the main motion as amended? Seeing none, the main motion as amended is approved. And I think that concludes our business for this evening. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, 1 second. This is Grace.
Yeah.
I have a... Okay. The approval of the minutes was left hanging. Mr. Crozier had a question. I responded to it by looking in the notes to say that the only person whose absence was excused in the February 6th open session was Heather Gray. But we didn't vote or approve the minutes.
Oh, I thought we had.
Finish that
okay. Piece
of business.
As far as I know, the minutes are always approved pending further correction. Is that not correct, Mr. Tatum?
But we didn't vote.
The secretary would be the one to answer that question because she is taking the minutes of today's meeting.
Okay, did we not approve the minutes?
Okay.
Secretary, would you please answer that question?
Yeah, we did not approve the minutes. I mean, there are two ways just to accept the minutes if there are no corrections or to ask if there are any objections to approving the minutes. So,
I like the first way better. Ms. Aaron, I like the first way.
Okay.
Are there any corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, and Alex knows the rest. Hearing none, the minutes are approved.
Okay.
Bill, I'd rather abstain because I need to go back and listen to the audio recording. I still think it's
okay.
Not. I think it was a motion to excuse everybody who requests an excused absence or everybody who's not there. And I don't think the motion specifically mentioned her by name.
I would prefer that we actually approve the minutes because then I don't know if this is correct, but in my understanding, if in the future we're asked for approved minutes, a positive affirmative vote or acceptance of the minutes is legally more
compelling. Yes.
Compelling than just accepting them because there are no.
Okay, let's make a formal motion.
That is not correct. Parliamentarian would like to say that she said if she's correct, and she's not on this one.
Okay, Mr. Tatum.
The standard way, are there any corrections, has nothing to do with future corrections. Any corrections for the minutes at this meeting, hearing no corrections, the minutes are approved. However, they still can be corrected in the future by the motion to approve something previously to amend something previously adopted. That would be the motion, Grace, that you would use in the future to amend something previously adopted.
So why don't we just say that the minutes are approved, and if Mr. Crozier can bring to us at the next meeting some evidence that there was an error or mistake in the minutes as they were approved, we will go back and correct them.
That's absolutely right.
Okay, very good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Robin votes to adjourn.
Right there.
Okay. Any objection? Okay. Meeting is adjourned. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you very much.